I joined in 1995, so kind of in the dark ages, where Cambridge had only been around for a year. And I started my practice, I worked as an economist for a few years, and then I got my MBA and I worked in small business. So getting a CFP and becoming a financial planner was pretty much of a break from my past. I mean, certainly economics plays into it and all, but it was a change. And I had just moved to a new town in a new state, and I could not give away financial plans. I knew nobody. So I was starting from scratch, and I decided I wanted to be fee-only, and I wanted to work with kind of normal people, you know, broadly defined middle-income people. And I was told by one planner that I would starve. So with that very auspicious starting, I tried it on my own for a year. I met Bert Whitehead at a conference, who is the founder of Cambridge Advisors, and I signed up. And what I was looking for, probably echoing a lot of what Jackie said, is I felt like I was reinventing the wheel all the time. Every time I came up with a new procedure or way to do it, I felt like somebody else surely has done this before and probably done it better than I'm doing it. And is this the best use of my time? And I was very uncertain about how to charge fees and what were reasonable fees to be charging. And I knew I was undercharging. I didn't have a real good system. I knew I wanted to do retainer fees. So I was kind of looking for the training. That was what really drew me to it, is to be trained in a system that I could then use. And at first, I didn't think taxes. I was not planning to do tax returns for my clients. And I changed my mind within a month, and I'm so glad I do. That has just been terrific. It makes renewals very easy, and people really appreciate that. So I came for the training and some advice on practice management. I stayed for the brain trust that is Cambridge. It is just phenomenal, the kind of people who are members of Cambridge, and the amount of sharing and learning and growing. There is no question in my mind that my practice would be a tenth of what it is without Cambridge, as much for what has happened since training as what happened actually during training. And the conferences are terrific. What I like about it, you know, the theme of this conference is cheers, where everybody knows your name. And it's true that even though if we don't know everything about everybody, which is probably a good thing, we have kind of a shorthand. You know, we use similar systems. We have a similar approach to how we work with clients, and it makes it a lot easier to share and more fruitful. So I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Jill. That was great. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'd like to open it up to Q&A, and don't forget, if you have muted your phone, hit *6 to unmute. There's got to be, I'm sure, a few questions out there. Oh, I know with this group there are questions.
No questions? Anyone?
There's got to be.
Amy, are you on the line?
I am.
This is Laura Seymour. I think some of the issues might be that every time I hit *6 to mute, I'm getting kicked off.
Okay, that's what was happening with me when I hit the *9 to record.
Okay, so I just muted my personal phone. I don't know if everybody has that option, but so I did not hear like half of what just was said, but that's my own issue.
Sorry. To summarize, we're glad we did it.
Now, did you miss Jill's or did you miss Jackie's? The first or second one?
I missed a bit of both.
Okay. So it sounds like there's something wrong with the system, and I apologize if anybody's getting kicked off. So I guess going forward, don't hit *6 anymore once you unmute yourself, as long as you're still on the call.
Is everyone still on the call? How many people are on the call?
When I
came back in, which Jackie was right when you were finishing up, it said that there were 10 people on the call.
Okay. I guess to re-summarize, both Jill and I feel that we have two things that we really, really care about Cambridge or came to Cambridge for. Was one is there was already a system. We didn't have to reinvent the wheel. I think fees are really one of the main issues on how do you charge if you're just going to go out on your own, and you don't want to be with a broker dealer, and you don't want to do commissions, or you don't want to, you know, go through this broker dealer. So I think that's one of the main main things, is that there's also this somewhat of a turnkey. The other is truly, and Jill said it perfectly, is really the mind share, the brain trust. There are so many smart people in Cambridge, and not only are they smart in the financial, tax, economics, they're progressive because they all think like, we all think alike as far as client care, which of course is the most important part of financial planning. We all want to be, in fact, you know, some of us get a little bit self-righteous about fee-only, no commissions, no conflicts of interest. And we all actually share that core belief of client care and no conflicts. So that's a great place for all of us to gather.
Yeah.
This is
and,
Lauren,
and just
go ahead. Oh, I'm yeah. sorry.
No,
I
no,
have
if you have a question,
question,
go ahead.
For both Jill and Jackie, how much of your practice is the tax part of it? I mean, Jill, I was interested in you saying you didn't think you wanted to do taxes, and now you're glad you
mm-hmm.
do. because that's one of the things I'm really contemplating, of how much of a tax practice I want to have. And then secondly, do any of you do like a financial review with clients if they're not interested in a retainer model?
Sure. You want me to jump in, Jackie?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll follow.
Okay, this is Jill. Yes, I taxes are an important part, because the first quarter of the year, I tell clients that we're going to be mainly focusing on tax preparation. Certainly, if they have financial planning issues, we will address those as they come up. But the appointment for the first quarter of the year is the tax appointment. And so I would say for, you know, probably 2 to 3 months out of the year, that's my main focus, and that's where most of my energies go. Then right now I'm meeting with clients for their starting their year-end meeting, and at least part of that meeting is tax projection. So it is a significant part, and I think that's a part that I know that's a part that so many planners just completely ignore. And I heard it again even yesterday from clients saying, one of the reasons we really enjoy working with you, Jill, is that you look at our total picture and you do our taxes. It used to be our planner would say, good luck with your taxes. So I encourage you to strongly consider incorporating taxes into your practice. I know not everybody in Cambridge does. Some outsource it. That's first. And the second is, I actually, with another Cambridge advisor, Karen McCarahan, we kind of pioneered the financial review idea in Cambridge, just because we were getting people coming in who didn't fit the full retainer profile. So we call it different things. I call it a financial tune-up. It's called a Cambridge financial review by other people. And I really like it because it allows me to work with a wide variety of clients, and I see all kinds of issues from these people that I might not even see from my retainer clients. So I really like it. There are definitely pros and cons, and that's a whole other, you know, probably
Thank
conference
you.
Call.
Now, I have a total different slant on the taxes.
Okay.
When I first started Cambridge, I started doing taxes. I went, oh, this is really fun. This is great. I have to tell you that I still do taxes. It is my least favorite. And it is my least favorite because it is so intricate. And I sometimes feel like it interrupts my whole, like, investment planning cycle. It just kind of catches me off guard. It's just, you know, I work with my husband is a CPA, and he and I share this office. We have a suite of offices. And we've actually exchanged clients, so he does some taxes, but I have others. And I have another Cambridge advisor who does my taxes. She's actually started working in my office also. So I outsource. They're done in my office, but somebody else does all the prep work, and then I review it, because taxes really aren't my favorite. But when I say I'm not going to do it anymore, the first thing I do is I find a client where I've helped them because I knew about taxes, and I knew their situation and their tax situation, and I was able to save some money before they did something, you know, that they shouldn't have. So I still, after 8 years, wrestle with this with this, I'm not doing taxes ever again, and then I'm really glad I do them. So it's really, you know, we cover so much. I think you're going to choose something that you really that you do like more than others. But I'm going to continue doing the taxes, even though I kind of grumble and get cranky and that. Now the CFR or the PFR, Professional Financial Review. What I like about those is it gets clients in. And, you know, when a client comes in for a first meeting, because we are so caring and because we want to fix everything and we want to tell the client everything they know, we seem to have told everybody at this first free meeting what they needed to know, and then they'd go on their way and never sign up. And that really was a loss of time, mm-hmm. and a loss of money and a loss of energy. And sometimes it really didn't get the full picture. Mm-hmm. So what I like about the CFR is the fact that you can have the client come in, the time that you've spent, you've been paid for, and they've gotten something more out of it. Sometimes they sign up and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they come back. But it's really also a way to they're fun. They're fun. You know, it's a fun part of work to solve some problems that first time and get paid for it, by the way.
Thank you.
And if I can just one other thing, that's exactly right. That's the way I feel about them too. I must admit, as I did not start doing these financial reviews when I first started as a planner and first started with Cambridge, I think it would have been daunting, certainly for me, to sit in front of a client for 2.5 hours and kind of do a full review on the fly, which these tend to be. Not that you give advice in every aspect, but you're touching on lots of different subjects often. And that would have been daunting. So I'm not sure. I know I couldn't have started that way. But now that I've been doing it for, you know, all these years, it's great, and I love it.
That's a good point, because I did not either start. You know, and when I first started, they call them mini retainers or what else do they call them? Financial
starter
retainers. Starter retainers. We had all these different retainer types, and one was just a project retainer. And I really didn't – I think I did one, and I wasn't comfortable with it when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you kind of work into it. And people have built their practice just doing these reviews, charging like $900 and doing a few a week.
Mm-hmm.
I did – when I first started, I did do some tax-only clients, you know, because I really – because, I mean, it's instant revenue when you're first starting your practice. And after about 3 years, I told them I'm not doing tax only. They wanted to join my practice. So it was great getting started. It was hard kind of getting – I thought it was going to be hard, but, of course, all my clients who I did taxes for survived. And, you know, I'm not the end all. So, you know, there's different ways. And everybody in Cambridge has started differently, and everyone in Cambridge is willing to share their story.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I have a question. This is Scott. On having an existing client base and then moving to from an AUM model to a retainer model and introducing it to clients, I don't know if either of you kind of, you know, started from scratch or if you went through a conversion as well. And how was that received by the clients? How did you present that to clients, if that's the case?
I started from scratch, so I can't really address that, except that I do know people in Cambridge who have successfully transitioned, and I know they would be more than happy to share their stories with you. Clients, it's all about expectations with clients, and I think if you can explain it clearly, matter-of-factly, and show them the cost-benefit, it doesn't seem to have been an issue. Jackie, have you ever done AUM?
No. It's really about you. Your practice is about you, which is why sometimes you can't sell your practice, because, you know, then you're gone and that's who the clients come to see. You know, and there's times when you change your investment philosophy, going from active to passive. So clients know you, they trust you. And I know money is the bottom line, but if you were to go through your client list and see how much you're charging them right now, and if you're going to use the fee calculator, see the difference in that price. Have you done that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. You know, and also, sometimes if it's a little more, you're actually giving more service. But you may want to first work on some clients, do the calculator, and see how different the fees come out, because they might not. Because I've done that, where somebody came to me with it from Merrill Lynch, and they were getting charged 1% of assets, and how is my fee going to differ? And, you know, so, and I've worked it out, and sometimes a fee calculator, it all adds up to maybe 1% or 75 basis points or one or whatever it is. So,
yeah, it could be more or less, and particularly if you're taking into account non-investable assets, which you have to advise on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. You know, and being in California, I don't know where everybody is. When I first started, you know, in the, since I've been here 8 years, there were times when I did not, and I really don't take into consideration the equity in their home, unless they were going to take that out and buy something else, because nobody was moving, so that really was a non-marketable asset. So I think you really need to take a look at the client, take a look at the fee calculator, and see, you know, see how you can. And these fee calculators, you can, you know, there's things to change. There's I don't know if you've seen, I don't know how far into the system you are, but you can change them and raise them, lower them, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with.
I've just seen the sample that's on the site.
So there's places where you can go in, and if you want to, you know, your second year be more or less whatever. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mira, and this question can go to either Jackie or Jill. I'm starting out in my career, and I've been in the broker-dealer side selling commission products for the past few years, and thinking of going the RIA route only. Can you guys talk about a little bit more about the training that you guys referenced earlier?
You know what, Mira? Actually, I'm going to ask Jackie and Jill not to talk about their training.
Oh, okay.
Well, we were kind of, Jill was there way in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then I was there.
Out.
Yeah, they were figuring out.
It's changed a bit, and at the end of this call, we can set up a time to, and I'll go over the training with you, because it's been updated and updated a lot.
Okay.
I love my training.
Yeah, I did too. But I'm actually thinking it'd be fun to go back and see how they're doing it now, because I'd probably learn some things.
Okay, yeah, because what you guys were saying before, and I think it was Jackie, about not reinventing the wheel, that and having the mentorship, that's really important to me, and that's what I'm kind of really attracting me to ACA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that I know is still there. That's the constant.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, it's actually even better than it was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the training, it's more in-depth, and it's been updated, and it's done through home study, virtual review sessions, and then you go to the group instruction class in Denver, where it puts it all together.
And I will do one thing. As Jackie said, there are some constants. The group instruction, to me, was so great because I developed a cohort group of people that, you know, started with me, who I still, you know, we still talk and share, it's a great way of developing your own kind of I don't know, virtual study group almost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a really people-oriented group of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the backgrounds, people came to, really probably came to Cambridge because, I don't know, maybe corporate, I don't know what it was, but it's a very people-oriented, wanting to help not only their clients, but they do help each other. You may be assigned a mentor, but if somebody else is doing something that you like or is doing something the way you want to do it, they're more than happy to help.
Okay. Now, and maybe Amy can address this, are there a big presence of California advisors? Because I don't know where Cambridge is really based.
It's not based there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's virtual, so it's a matter of some areas we have more members, and in other areas we don't. We still have a few states without any members in them. In the state of California, Jackie, you probably know that.
There's a lot of us. Okay, so Jill's in Ohio.
We're the
I'm in California.
Bed. Yeah,
Pardon?
Ohio is the hotbed. We have we in Colorado are always trying to see who has more. So I don't think California is beating us yet.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And there are some people who are live in Arizona, who have a practice in Arizona, but come to California to see some clients. And I have some clients in Arizona that I see. I live in San Francisco. I have clients in Massachusetts.
Right. My husband, Greg, has his practice here on Cape Cod, and he has California clients.
Yeah.
Hey, he's moving in on my territory. Just teasing.
And I will say, in Columbus, Ohio, where I practice, this is Jill, there are, I think, 5 Cambridge advisors, and you think there might be at least a little competition here, but I would say 4 out of 5 of us have full-up practices. So we're actually delighted when we get another Cambridge advisor in Columbus because it gives us someone we can refer clients to with an, you know, enthusiastically. And all the time we get together and we talk about, you know, how do you do things and what's the best way to do this. I've never been in an organization quite like this where you can just pick up the phone and call anybody and ask them any question and they'll tell you.
Yeah, we actually find that where we have a higher concentration of ACA members, the practices are more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
so
the
discussion forums done via just phone, picking up the phone and calling, or is there some sort of structured format like a blog or an email group or a Yahoo group? How does the discussion forum
we have a discussion forum that our members use.
Mm-hmm. It's on the website. You go into the website. And you can, you know, sign up to just get the emails. I mean, I had a question on some DFA, the dimensional funds. And I remember talking to Doug Taylor, who's down in Southern California a few years ago. And all of a sudden, I was working on him yesterday, and I went, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to shoot him an email and see how he's changed his allocations from the last time we talked. Shot him an email, just waiting for him to get back. He'll get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's because seriously, I mean, when you're on your own, you sometimes feel just like the Lone Ranger. And
yeah.
Because of this group, it really, really helps.
Okay.
Where are you located?
I'm in San Mateo.
Okay. So, like, if you wanted to come up and see my practice and see, you know, what we're doing, or Amy, am I stepping on your feet?
Nope, not
toes?
At all.
You know, I'm in San Francisco. You're welcome to do that.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll definitely take you up on that. Yeah,
sorry,
I feel
Amy.
Like there's not a lot of independent advisors or financial planners on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, a lot of them are in the East Bay and the San Francisco, the North Bay, and the sprinkling in Silicon Valley, but not a lot on the peninsula.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions out there for anyone that can get through?
I have a question regarding, this is for Jill and Jackie. Do you have any staff, and are there other advisors who use staff, or is it just, are you running your firms as just one-person operations?
Oh, God, no. Sorry, I would be horrible if it was just me. This is Jill. Sorry to jump in there. I have a part-time office manager and a part-time paraplanner, and this past summer I hired a planner. She finished up her CFP, and so we have kind of a fee-sharing arrangement with her. I found early on that I am not a good person to be the one to schedule appointments and answer the phone and scan the documents and even put together the pyramid. You know, I'm a great planner, and I think, but I don't do all those other things that well. So I early on hired staff to do those things and leverage my time, and I've loved it that way. There are lots of Cambridge planners who work just on their own. There's very few who have large offices with multiple planners, but there are some like that as well.
Yeah, it runs the gamut onto it runs a gamut on what the size of the practice, what people specialize in, how many people work in the office. I I was on my own for a long time, and then I guess it was about 3.5 years ago I hired someone as an assistant, thinking maybe they'd come in. I probably held on to that assistant too long, but that assistant's no longer here. It was like 3 years, and then I'm lucky enough because there was another Cambridge advisor who really doesn't want to work on her own and can't decide what she wants to do, and she's now in my office being the admin and also tax preparer. So I really need someone here. And I like to take off and travel, so it's nice to have somebody here to cover.
And Jill and Jackie, about how many clients do you guys work with, or how many retainer clients do you have? Just can you give us an idea of what your practices look like?
I have 52 fam. I've got about between, last count was like 52 fam, what I call families. So when I look under, when I look at my Windows Explorer, I see 52 files of clients.
And these are retainer clients?
These are all retainer clients, yes.
And what is your average retainer then for those 52?
Oh, that's very hard to say. I have some that are 10,000. I have some that are three, because three is my minimum fee.
Okay, all right.
So I have some are three and some are 10.
Okay. How about Jackie?
That was Jackie. Those were California prices. This is Jill, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I have a practice that is a little more geared to what I would consider more typical middle income. So I have 80 retainer clients, and I do, on average, about 50 financial reviews per year that are only financial reviews that don't transition into retainers, because that's appropriate for their level. So that's why I do need assistance, because there's a lot of scheduling, there's a lot of just flow through the office. And my average is closer to the bottom of Jackie's retainer, again, just more of the economics of Ohio probably and the kind of clients I work with. And that's one reason why I do the financial reviews as well. It's a good extra source of income.
How much do you charge for the financial reviews?
I charge $800, and I've done that for probably 2.5 years, so it's time to bump up the price again.
I charge $900.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is a really good...
Is that $800 and $900 in addition to the annual retainer?
No, if they sign on, then that goes towards the retainer.
Okay.
So they pay half when they send in their information, and if I don't know them, they can bring in their information, and I have like a 10-minute conversation just because they don't, you know, if they're not referred by someone who knows me and they don't want to just send in information, they can come in and I can talk with them. But when they get their information, I charge half. And then, when the information comes in, I charge half. And then when they come in for the meeting, I charge the other half.
And Jill, your 80 retainer clients, those are 80 separate families. And then the 50, those are completely separate people that just all they want is the financial review. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And what I found is that people for whom I do a financial review, they often want to come back for a refresher. And if it's been a few years, they just do another financial review. But if it's within the same year, I do have a fee where I charge them half of the financial review for less than half, about half the time, because these are people who are trying to implement the strategy on their own, and sometimes they run into issues, and that's fine, and I'm happy to meet with them again. It's interesting, because I have such a flow-through of people, I never talk to the people or see them or anything before. The first time I meet them is when we sit down to do the financial review. My staff handles all the rest of explaining the service, collecting the fees, making sure the information is there ahead of time, making sure it's input into the proper places. So I'm really pretty efficient with them. I just sit down, do the tune-up, and that's it.
You know, this is actually a perfect example of how different your practice can be. And how, even though that's why I called it a semi-turnkey. Cambridge is a semi-turnkey because you have all the tools to use, but you can implement it, you know, as to your habits and your wishes. And so, you know, some people, like with these 52 families that I have, some people, when the client leaves the office, they have their appointment set up all year. you know, like every quarter, every, you know, and some people will charge according to how many times they see you a year. They see the client a year. I have a pretty much open policy, open door policy. Some clients I don't hear from for a year. And that used to actually kind of bother me because I'd be charging them and I wouldn't do anything. And those same clients could have a problem in their life. And the more that you, the longer you work, you see this. 2 years I didn't hear from a couple clients, but they know that I'm here, so they like paying me. And then all of a sudden they have a life change. They're moving, they're buying, they're selling, the whatever it is. And then you hear from them. So I have clients who can call and say, something's happening next week, do you have any time? And I'll say, fine. As opposed to, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's a quarter, whatever it is. So it's really, you're really able to work this into your style, your practice style.
Absolutely. And one piece of advice I think I wish someone had told me when I first started with Cambridge is, you know, Jill, you're starting out, you're joining Cambridge because you want to learn about another system. So don't start tweaking it and making your own from day one. I wish I had kind of done exactly what I was taught for the first at least several months before I started making it my own. I just jumped in and started tweaking it.
And it's true. And I'm laughing because I did the same. You know, well, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something. And you end up going back.
Mm-hmm.
Or and maybe that doesn't happen anymore because the training's different.
No, it still happens. But every time there's a new... We have a group instruction class. Someone will always make a posting saying, you know, any advice out there from the other members who've been doing this for a few years? And that's always the number one response. Don't mess with it until you've done it.
Yes, learn it and then decide. Because I'm 8 years later, I'm doing, I'm using the exact tools. Which is really why, you know, right now, I'm like still trying to decide if I want to go with Money Guide Pro or something else, because all the systems seem to work for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's they understand it. They see a net worth page. They see a chart. You know, I go to these Schwab meetings, and they're talking about quarterly reporting. Once a year we do this. It's called the pyramid. I don't know if you've seen it. The pyramid is where you just enter all the information on one sheet and it travels to the other. And it's this nice, it used to be just a pyramid. Now they've got this great graph in front that just shows over the years what's happened with their investments.
Yeah, it's great because the clients actually pick up the lingo, and I'll have clients call and leave a message with my assistant saying, tell Jill that we need to replenish the pantry. I know exactly what they mean. My assistants know exactly what they mean. It doesn't really mean that we're going to go out grocery shopping for them. Heaven forbid.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's all about your relationship with your client. You know, once again, like I said, if you change from active management to passive, sometimes, you know, you're really nervous because the client comes in and goes, you know, we're going to change all your assets, and you're going to go, okay, fine, because they trust you. And if you believe in the system, then they're going to.
Jill and Jackie, I have a question regarding Garrett Financial Network. Are there some Cambridge advisors who are also part of the Garrett Network?
No, we don't have – this is Amy. We don't have any members that are dual, but we do have several members of ACA that are former Garrett members.
Okay.
I can summarize it real quickly, and I can also tell you there's a recording a couple of months back. It's either the May or June podcast, I think, on our website if you listen to it. And it lists next to it who the hosts are. Kathy Dollard is one of the hosts, and Kathy is a former Garrett member. We have several others. The main reason I know why Kathy switched over is because of the hourly model, the marketing drove her crazy. In the beginning, you have to market to get the clients in the door. With the Garrett model, in 5 years, you're still marketing yourself just as much as you are the first day you open your doors. With the ACA model, after 5 years, you're probably going to be looking at closing your doors or expanding your practice. And taking on staff because your clients sign with you year after year. Plus, the efficiency of the ACA system, I know it's why my husband, Greg Fenton, likes it so much. This time of year, I'm a golf widow. You know, he has all of his clients, but he doesn't necessarily have to work more. With the hourly model, if you want to make more money, you have to work more hours.
When I first, this is Jill, when I first joined NAPFA, before I joined NAPFA the year before I joined Cambridge, and I attended a roundtable, and they were talking about charging hourly versus charging other ways. And someone said, when you charge hourly, you charge for your ignorance and you give away your expertise. And I thought, bingo. That's why I don't want to charge hourly, because the value is what it's all about to the client. I mean, if it only took you 10 minutes to see that they had totally messed up their tax return and they should be getting $5,000 back, do you charge them for 10 minutes? That should just all be incorporated into the retainer. And I think it's a much fairer way of charging. And, again, it's all about expectations, too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. As far as ACA being a source of client referrals directly through internet or through identification in the media, has that been in your all's case a successful strategy, or is it more just locally working on your own to build your client base?
I didn't get the question.
Excuse me?
I didn't get the question.
Oh, is as far as do you get clients through Cambridge?
I got it. I didn't quite understand it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go ahead?
Oh, do you get clients through Cambridge? Not really. I think that clients who are looking on the internet. And I guess my question is I have not, really. I mean, I've gotten a couple of calls that go from NAPFA to Cambridge, and I've gotten a few calls. I have not gotten that many calls. I was lucky enough to have one client send me 38% of my business when I first started. He just really referred me a lot of clients.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Jill, take it.
Well, I started from scratch. I was a single parent. I had two kids in high school. You know, if I couldn't make my financial planning practice work quickly, I was going to have to get a real job, as we say, and I didn't want that. So, you know, I hate to say this, but if I can do it, you know, I think anybody can do it. I have not gotten clients from Cambridge, partially because by the time Cambridge was really getting going on some of this,
yeah,
I already had
it.
A full practice. But I would say don't join Cambridge for the client referrals. Join it for the fabulous system and for the brain trust and for all the other things. And join it for the tools that they give you now to develop your own way of getting referrals and getting clients. I think the tools are extremely good. Don't expect a stream of clients at your door. The only clients I've gotten directly through Cambridge are because another Cambridge advisor specifically referred me because, you know, it was a family member in a different town or something like that. But with the tools, it's very, very doable to put together what becomes a self-sustaining practice where you get enough referrals from existing clients that you don't really need to market. Is that fair, Amy?
Yeah, definitely, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to undersell it because the tools are there. It's just don't expect a flow of clients.
Okay, well, that meets my expectation there. So that I just was wondering, you mentioned the tools. Could you elaborate a little bit as to what are a couple examples of what are the most outstanding tools that we might expect to be utilizing?
Specifically for marketing or just in general?
In general.
Because Amy can refer to the marketing tools because that's after my time. But I would say that the Cambridge Pyramid that Jackie referred to, which is kind of our core tool, I find that a really great tool. It's a wonderful way to pull together all the aspects of the client's financial life in a very, I think, elegant, pretty streamlined format that instantly gives them some basics of how they're allocated and where there might be some weaknesses. Plus, it's an ongoing measure of how they're doing compared to, you know, what they expected to do. So I think the Cambridge Pyramid is the core.
Okay. I agree with that. The other ones that have been updated, there's the there's a back of the envelope for retirement planning, savings calculators, why pay off your mortgage, or why you should or should not. The difference between paying off your mortgage and not paying off your mortgage. There's so many. And
goal
the whole
setting.
Thing is yeah. The goal setting. Mm-hmm. It's you see the client who comes in, you find out what they're coming in for when you get your profile back, when you do a CFR. We call that the spear in the back. Why are they in there? And then you look at all the tools we have, and there's something there. And and they say, oh, you can go on the internet and get something like that. Well, some of those are a little more confusing, and this, you've just got it.
Plus, you're standing on the shoulders of all the other Cambridge advisors because you know that others are using it. It reflects the philosophy that we believe in with fee-only planning and client, you know, comes first and all. And other people are using it, so if there were any bugs, you know, they've been taken care of. And I think that one of the comments I heard a lot from clients when I started working with them, now they're used to it, is, I didn't know this was part of what you covered. You know, people would say, I'm thinking of quitting my job and starting my own business. I said, great, let's have a meeting about that, and we'll talk about the consequences and all. They go, really? Truly? And I said, absolutely. We'll talk about, you know, how you replace the benefits. We'll talk about the tax implications. We'll talk about how you charge for your services. It really is comprehensive, and there's so many tools that address different parts of that, and you can just kind of pluck the one that is most appropriate.
You know, with these tools, you can do, you know, the life planning. You can do business planning. The client. I have so many clients that have gone out on their own, become consultants, because that's what you do in California. And they call, well, I'm gonna become a corporation. Should I become an LLC or a C corp? And you go, whoa, wait a minute. Do you have any clients? Have you registered your business? So, you know, there's a really that's kind of information that you don't think that the client doesn't think they're going to get from you, and it's just an added on.
Mm-hmm. And just one quick example like that. I have a client who decided he wanted to buy a franchise, and he wanted to use his 401k money to buy the franchise, to kind of roll it over to an IRA and use it as IRA money, not withdraw it, but use it as IRA money for the franchise. And actually what they were going to do was set up a separate 401k. And I went, whoa, this doesn't even sound totally legal to me, but let me check it out. I posted it on the Cambridge Forum. In 2 hours, I had somebody respond saying, not only is it very tricky and dicey, here's the reference to show the IRS training manual that says, watch out for these and make sure you nip them in the bud. So I was able to go back to the client and say, deal's off. You don't want to do this. The IRS is like painting a target on your head. Amazing.
Thank you.
We do sound a little bit like we drank the Kool-Aid, didn't we?
I know. We definitely drank the Kool-Aid. We definitely drank the Kool-Aid, and I continue to slurp, and, you know, it works. It works. And sometimes there are some years you're really involved, some years you're not involved. The conferences are always good, catching up with people. I don't know, but we definitely sound like we drank the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the longest.
Sorry if we're
over-enthusiastic,
you guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, if we don't have any other questions, I'm going to wrap this up. I apologize to anybody who experienced technical difficulties like I did. Sorry if you got dropped from the call. I'll follow up with everyone to make sure they were able to at least listen in. And at least the once Jill started talking, I was able to start the recording. So if you missed any of it, trying to get back in, you'll be able to listen to the recording on the website. If anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to call me or email me. And Mirama, I forgot, we have a call scheduled at 1 o'clock, so I'll answer all of your training questions.
Perfect. Thank you.
Everyone else?
And whoever had said the Sam, whoever was San Mateo, Amy will get you my contact information, if that's okay, Amy. Or
yep, sure.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get a chance, if you think of a question afterwards that you want to send to Amy and say, you know, can you forward this to Jackie? I'm sure it's okay with you too, to Jackie
yes.
or Jill. You know, Jackie would be happy to answer them. We'll both be happy to answer them offline, I think.
All righty.
Thank you, everyone, for your time. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate it.
All righty.
Everyone have a great weekend.
We'll see you at the meeting.
Thank
yeah?
you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.